Lou just walked off and acted like I knew how to put this on. Is it correct? Can you hear me all right? Turn it up. Okay, how's that?
Better.
No good. Right here. Okay, what does first button even mean? I guess a button on my shirt. Before I get started, I would like to thank the Bible School Committee for once again having this gathering. This Arkansas Bible School has been a refuge for me and my family for the last 50 years, and I pray that it continues to be for the short time that we have left. If you remember what my subject for tonight is, it is our hope in these last days. Well, I want us to take a few minutes tonight and think about this subject. I want to kind of divide it into two parts. Do we really think that we're in the last days? And what is our hope? Let's take a look at the theme for the gathering. Let's turn to Ezekiel 38. And the theme comes from 15 and 16, but I'm going to start at verse 14. Therefore, son of man, prophesy and say unto Gog, thus saith the Lord God, in that day when my people of Israel dwell safely, shalt thou not know it? And thou shalt come from thy place out of the north parts, thou and many people with thee, all of them riding upon horses, a great company and a mighty army. And thou shalt come up against my people of Israel as a cloud to cover the land. It shall be in the latter days. And I will bring thee against my land, that the heathen may know me, when I shall be sanctified in thee, O Gog, before their eyes. Brothers and sisters, what we're talking about here is Russia will come against Israel in the latter or the last days. Now think about what's happening right now with the Middle East, with Russia, and with their allies. And remember that her allies are those that are against Israel. I mean, they have backed Iran in their quest for the nuclear bomb. They are against, of all the strange things, America is talking about punishing Syria for using nerve gas, and Russia says, no, no, you can't do that. Russia is trying to sue for peace over this thing. It's the most mind-boggling thing that you can think of, and you got to remember, when things like this are happening, God is in command. God is causing these things to happen. And think about Israel's allies and what's happening there, how they're all withdrawing from her. Most of Europe has turned more and more Muslim and more anti-Semite. Even the U.S. is starting to show signs of backing away a little bit from Israel. All of these things, brothers and sisters, are all coming together to prove to us that yes, we are living in the last days. Let's think about another scripture for a minute to consider if we really are in these last days. What prophecy is it that has to occur before God comes against Israel? I mean, you know, you think about all the different prophecies that are in the Bible. There's very few of them that have not come about. But the one I'm talking about now is the return of Christ to judge his people. Now think about that. The resurrection will occur, and those of us that are still living and under covenant relationship will be gathered and taken to the judgment seat of Christ. And at the bema of Christ, we will be given our just deserts. Those of us who have lived our lives in a manner pleasing to God, immortality, and the pleasure of living and reigning with Christ during his kingdom. And those of us not measuring up, the second death. Now let's take a look at Luke chapter 18. Verse 8. I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? That's a sobering message that Christ has right there, isn't it? And think about it. What is he saying here? When he cometh, will he find faith on the earth? I can remember, not all that long ago, when I always took this verse to mean, well, you know, you look at all of Christianity and you look at the Christadelphians, surely that's what he's talking about. But brothers and sisters, when you look at the Christadelphians in the last 30 or 40 years, what we're saying is, if Christ doesn't come soon, there'll be none of us left. We all tend to pull away just a little bit. And with the things that's going on and the brotherhood is starting to implode and ecclesia is being affected, individuals are affected. That certainly has to be what Christ was talking about when he said, will he find faith on the earth? Turn to 2 Timothy 3:1. This know also, that in these last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce-breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. For of this sort they are which creep into houses, and lead captive silly women laden with sins, led away with divers lusts, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Now as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also resist the truth, men of corrupt minds, reprobates concerning the faith. But they shall proceed no farther, for their folly shall be manifest unto all men, as theirs also was. For thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience, persecutions, afflictions, which came unto me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra, Lystra, and persecutions. What persecutions I endured, but out of them all the Lord delivered me, yea, and all that will live godly in Jesus Christ shall suffer persecutions. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Now, the question is, are perilous times here? Look how the world has changed in the past 50 or 60 years. I graduated from grade school in 1956. At that time, I knew of nobody who smoked drugs or drank alcohol. There was nobody of my peers. I graduated from high school in 1961. I still knew nobody that used drugs. Now at that time, you got to remember the hippie craze was starting to start and drugs were getting popular, but nobody that I knew was into them. Now a few people, I will admit at that time, did get into a little alcohol. But look what we have now. I mean, I've heard the stories of parents buying their teenagers alcohol for their parties so the kids wouldn't have to run around and be caught driving drunk. I mean, that is, brothers and sisters, this is perilous times. And when you, I, you know, my mind can't remember what president it was, but in my lifetime, we officially said, we're going to have a war on drugs. We're going to create this commission, and we are going to stop drugs in America. Brothers and sisters, that's a war we lost. Drugs are prevalent in America. They're legal in some of our states. They've been medically legal for quite a few years in some states. Now, they're recreationally legal in two states that I'm aware of. Brothers and sisters, these are perilous times. These certainly are the last days, as 2 Timothy 3:1 said. Brothers and sisters, young people, if you don't believe that we're in the last days, pay attention to the classes that we're about to have You might not realize it and think it now, but by Monday afternoon, you certainly will. Now let's talk a couple of minutes about hope. What does the word hope mean? We tend to think that the words hope and wish are interchangeable, but they're really not. Let's look at 3 John, verse 1. I'm sorry, 3 John, verse 2. Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth. This, brothers and sisters, is the correct rendition of the word wish. That is taken a Greek word, G2172. It is Yo kahamehi. It means to wish, by implication, to pray to God, to make that wish come true. It means to will it to be true, as opposed to the word hope, which is Greek 1680, which is elpis, from elpis, elpo, which primary word to anticipate, usually with pleasure, expectation, either abstract or concrete, or confidence, faith. That is what the word hope means. It means elpis. So brothers and sisters, we have hope in something that we know is concrete. That is elpis Israel. The hope of Israel. Now, what is the hope of Israel? You know, we say we have it. What is it? Let's look at Acts 24. Acts 24, verse 14. But this I confess unto thee, that after the way which they call heresy, so worship I the God of my fathers, believing all things which are written in the law and in the prophets, and have hope towards God, which they themselves also would allow, that there shall be a resurrection of the dead, both of the just and the unjust. Let's drop down to verse 21. Except it be for this one voice, that I cried, standing among them, touching the resurrection of the dead, I am called into question by you this day. This is, of course, Paul providing his defense, that he's saying that he is believing and teaching the same thing that the Jews who brought him up under charges believe and taught, that they also believe that there would be a resurrection of the dead. Let's look at Acts 26, verse 6. And now I stand and am judged for the hope of the promise made of God to our fathers. This hope of the promises that God made unto the fathers. And let's look at Acts 28. Down to verse 20. For this cause, therefore, have I called for you, to see you and to speak with you, because that for the hope of Israel I am bound with this chain. That is the reason he's been a prisoner, because he has the hope of Israel, the same hope that the Jews had at the time. The Jews understood that God would send his Messiah to reestablish the kingdom of David, that all the foreign rulers would be thrown out, and the throne would be the throne of David. Brothers and sisters, this also is our hope. This hope of Israel is the hope that we should have in these last days. The hope of Israel is, in effect, the gospel. And what is the gospel? The definition is the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ. The very thing that Paul was saying, for this reason am I bound. How do we know what the gospel is? Well, let's look at it. Let's look at Mark 16. Verse 15. And he said unto them, he's talking to his, back up to 14. Afterwards he appeared unto the 11 as they sat at meat and upbraided them with their unbelief and hardness of heart because they believed not them which had seen him after he was risen. And he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. So these 11 were to go out and preach the gospel. What did they say? Let's look at Acts 8. Verse 12. But when they believed Philip, preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. So Philip took Christ's command to preach the gospel, and he went out and he preached the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ. Let's look at Acts 19. Excuse me a minute. I took that cold water and I guess it fogged my glasses up. Acts 19, verse 8. And he went into the synagogue and spake boldly for the space of 3 months, disputing and persuading the things concerning the kingdom of God. Now this is Paul here. And let's look at Acts 28 again. Verse 23. And when they had appointed him a day, there came many to him to his lodging, to whom he expounded and testified the kingdom of God, persuading them concerning Jesus, both out of the law of Moses and out of the prophets, from morning until evening. So, brothers and sisters, it's the gospel that gives us our hope. And the understanding of this gospel that lets us know that that great thing is near. When we see this world aligning the way it is, when we understand that Russia and her allies will soon come against Israel, and we see the world around us falling apart, being in perilous times, and when we understand that if Christ doesn't come soon, the elect will be saved. Let me rephrase that. The elect will always be saved if there is any elect left. Brothers and sisters, we hope that that day soon comes. We yearn for it. We pray it will be found in the position to go to Christ's right hand at that judgment. Let's look at Isaiah 2. To close my remarks with, and it shall come to pass in the last days that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established in the top of the mountains, and it shall be exalted above the hills, and all nations shall flow unto it. And many peoples shall go and say, come up, and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, and he will teach us of his ways, and we will walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall go forth the law and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. Brothers and sisters, we pray that that day will soon be here.